there is an altar. Padded on top. Not bad. Got to thinking about it. Because in all honesty, I've been having some issues lately. And the Lord has blessed me and allowed me the wonderful opportunity to get to go to various churches and fill the pulpit for them. Whether they have a pastor or they don't have a pastor, whatever the situation is there. Been doing this for many, many years now. This is certainly not a new phenomenon. But something that I have noticed quite a bit here, unfortunately, with a lot of these churches, is that we have gotten away from having an altar in the church. And even more so, we've gotten away from the invitation. Now, I realize that there is no injuncture by any of the writers in the New Testament that when the sermon is done, the pastor or preacher or evangelist, missionary, whatever the case is required to extend an invitation at the end of the sermon. I realize that in the Bible, there in the New Testament, there's no command that the church has to have an altar. And I realize that there are people who say that the altar, that business was took care of there on the cross of Calvary, and we'd have no more need for an altar. Okay. All right, fire. But I do also realize that the first church house, the earliest that we've been able to trace any sort of possibility for a dedicated church house for a New Testament church, doesn't come about until somewhere between 233 and 256 AD. In other words, what they were meeting at there in the New Testament, when Paul and Peter and John and the rest of them are going around preaching, they're meeting in synagogues. They're meeting in people's homes. They're meeting down by the river under a tree. They're meeting in jail. They're meeting wherever they can. They're not forsaking the assembling of themselves together. They just don't have a dedicated church house like we do today. And certainly, in my ministry, I have been blessed. I've been able to go to churches that were taking place in someone's house. Nursing homes where the service was being conducted there in the lunchroom. Yeah. Did that for 11 years, man. Pacific Garden Mission. Two different chapel services there on midday Wednesday. Neither one is being done in a dedicated, what we would consider to be a dedicated church room. It's the rooms that they've set up for having the meetings take place there. I've been in conference rooms of motels. Had churches, you know, take place there. Over in parks, you know, hey, wherever we're able to go. It's not required to have a church house. But we still try to have something put aside for the Lord. And we've got the altar there. And I know a lot of churches nowadays, they're doing away with the altar. It takes up room. People don't need it as much anymore. You know, you really don't need to go to the altar to talk to God. You can talk to Him right there in your seat. Yes, you can. I know of people who've been saved beside tree stumps, behind the steering wheel of their car. Been able to have some of my best times of prayer right there in my delivery truck. Out in fields, in parking lots, you can pray wherever because God is everywhere. And so long as you have been blood-bought, born again, God will hear your prayer wherever it is that you are at. And if you're not right with God, the only prayer that He's really going to listen to is the one where you're telling Him, I'm sorry, I'd like to get right with you. And if you're lost, He will gladly hear the prayer of one asking to be saved. Okay? So, yeah, we don't have to have a dedicated location inside of our churches that we call the altar. the invitation. Kind of getting lost in the shuffle there. Why is that? Well, because there's no altar. There's no focal point. So if there's no focal point, then it's easy for the invitation to get lost in the shuffle. And I realize there's a lot of good churches out there that do not have altars. You just come on up here by the platform, by the steps leading up the platform, wherever, you know, you can kneel. If you can't kneel, you can stand. You stay there in your seat, wherever it is. And they give an outstanding invitation, and people come and get help from the master. I get it. I truly do. But there's a lot of churches nowadays that I've gone to minister to. And when I'm done preaching, it's like, okay, I'd like to have a song of invitation. And people are looking at me with these blank stares. This, huh? What's he talking about? An invitation? We don't do that here. And you wonder why your church is kind of the way it is. Because we're not taking the time to talk to God. D.L. Moody preached one time, and he laid it to him, and by the time he got done, he was like, I'm not going to call an invitation tonight. I want everybody to be 100% for sure and sincere that they are going to accept Jesus Christ. No turning back, no saying, you know what, I just did it in my emotions and all. I want you to take all week and think about it. And you come back here next week, and we'll extend an altar call then, and y'all can come and get saved then. Throughout the entire time he was up there preaching, he heard the bells and all the excitement going on outside, and he had no idea what it was. He had no concept whatsoever that the great Chicago fire had begun to rage. That many of the people that he had just dismissed and told to come back next week to get saved weren't coming back because they were about to die. And it ate at D.L. Moody. He swore he would never, ever again dismiss a service without extending an invitation to come and get saved. And that story about him has always stuck with me. And yeah, I don't care if you all don't do an invitation or not. I don't care if you all got an altar or not. I'm going to extend an invitation because I'm not God. I don't know if you're 100% right with God. You may need to come up and get right with God. Hey, you know what? You may need just to come up and thank Him for what you've done for Him. You know, the whole purpose of having this altar right here is for us to shed our humility. Or to shed our pride and embrace humility. For us to sit here and come to God and say, God, You are worthy. And I need to humbly bow before You. God, I'm coming to You. I can't get down there because of my knees, my back, whatever. So I'm coming up front, and I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm coming to You. Now again, I realize there are people who say, but we don't need an altar. Paul didn't say we've got to have an altar. I know. And he only mentioned the word altar in a couple of times during his writings there. But you know, something struck me over in the book of Revelation chapter 6. And I'd like to read verse number 9 for you real quick. Now this is when John is touring heaven and all the future events that are going to be taking place during the Great Tribulation period. As a matter of fact, this is after the scroll has been handed over to the Lamb. The first four seals have been cracked open. And now we come here to chapter 6, verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, talking about Jesus, he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And that altar is referenced another 3, 4, 5 times in the book of Revelation. If it's so unimportant for you and me in our local assembly to have an altar, why in the world does God Almighty have an altar before His throne? Think about that one for a moment, church. I realize we don't need the tabernacle no more. It was a type and a shadow, a picture of what's up there in heaven. And guess what? The mercy seat is there before God. Jesus took the blood he shed there on the cross of Calvary and placed it on that mercy seat. It's there. There's an altar there too. There's an invitation that Jesus extends. You think of the Laodicean churches. I counsel thee to buy gold of me, tried in the fire, to get you some white raiment. This is an invitation, church, that Jesus is extending. The Ephesian church, you've left your first love. Guess what? That is Jesus saying, hey, I'm telling you, you need to come to the altar and get right. Here's the altar. Well, like I said, we didn't even have church buildings till 200 years after the New Testament was done. Didn't affect the worship. As a matter of fact, our Christian heritage was probably stronger in those 200 years beforehand. And now look at us here. How our churches are dying on the vine. How people are falling away. How we're not seeing things happening. The movement of God doesn't seem to be taking place in our lives. And we're sitting here scratching our heads. I don't get it. Well, here's one reason why. We've done away with the altar. We've done away with the invitation. I can take care of business there in the pew. Yeah, you can. But it's the mindset that the invitation, it's the mindset that the altar brings with them. We're coming to God. His way. Oh, that is so important. His way. Instead of us saying, God, I'm going to come to you, but I'm going to come to you my way. How often does that work out? Generally, it doesn't tend to, does it? No. May not be able to change much, but I want you to think about this, church. Think long and hard about this wooden bench here. Whether it's got padding on top or not, it's taller or it's shorter, it's not there and you just got to default to the stage itself here. But whatever the case is, the idea is that we need to come to God. Like I said, he thinks enough of the altar that he's got one before his throne. He thinks of enough of the invitation to extend it to a church that he's ready to spew out of his mouth. Church, let's be honest here. We ain't much better. As a matter of fact, we are living in the Laodicean church age. How about before he has to spew us out, we start getting out of those seats and we start coming down here and having ourselves a little talk with Jesus. Just something for you to think about.